Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 150 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio exclusively right here on the listener-supported Head On Radio Network. Also brought to you in part by Coal River Mountain Watch at crmw.net. That's Coal River Mountain Watch. Stop by crmw.net and see what mountaintop removal is doing to West Virginia. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today being Thursday, June 12, 2008. So if you're listening shortly after 9 p.m. Eastern on a Thursday evening, June 12, you're listening to a live show and you are more than welcome to call in and participate. I will be giving out the contact number shortly. Many of you are probably listening to this via the delayed archive stream. Many of our listeners in Europe are tuning in this evening for our very special guest, Miss Cynthia Manley. I'm so sorry. I knew I was going to do that. Her name is Pamela Stanley, and it sounds like Cynthia Manley, doesn't it? Stanley Manley. Knew I was going to do that. And, in fact, the reason I did that is because I'm looking at Cynthia Manley's name. Please forgive me, panel. The reason I'm looking at Cynthia Manley's name is because I was going to bring up the fact that this show has been truly blessed by the wonderful musical talent and musicians that have been on this show. Cynthia Manley, Ernest Cold, Man Parrish, Paul Parker, Matt Gold, D.C. LaRue, Steve Skinner, Katie Agresta, Jason and DeMarco. The list goes on and on. It's only a very small fraction of the people who have appeared on this show who have been musical talent. And that is due in no small part to Mr. Glenn Rivera, our executive director of musical talent here on the Strictly Confidential radio show on the Head On Radio Network. Glenn has been a friend of this show from the very beginning. In fact, Glenn was a guest during the very first week of Strictly Confidential when it premiered back in June of 2007. If you'd like to hear the interview with Glenn Rivera, you can go to the strictlyconfidentialradio.com site and click on the June 2007 calendar, and you'll find him in the June 22nd calendar column. And just click on the show, and you'll get the streaming archive from the White Rose Society. We appreciate you very much, Glenn, and thank you for all the hard work that you do behind the scenes that not very many people realize you do. Glenn, in fact, has spent a lot of time editing the tracks for this evening for Pamela Stanley. Many of these are extended versions of extended dance tracks, and in order to make more time to talk with Pamela, Glenn edited them down to a more radio-friendly time, so we appreciate that, too. And see, where was I? The show site, yes, is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and it's there you're going to find links to all of the guests and to all of the audio archives from past shows. You'll find links there to the chat room. There are links there for Strictly Confidential's MySpace page and links to help you locate the music that you hear on the show. You'll find the link there at strictlyconfidentialradio.com for the main Head On Radio Network site. That's headonradionetwork.com. The main site is where you can find out about all of the other progressive programming here on the Head On Radio Network. You'll also find a PayPal button that makes it easy for you to support the Head On Radio Network. We appreciate your support to keep the fans turning and the packets passing and the streams streaming and all of the things that have to happen in order for this magic to happen via the Ethernet, the mystical place that no one dares go. So, yeah, we appreciate your support for the network. The toll-free line, if you'd like to participate with myself and Pamela Stanley, is 877, the number 4, head-on. That translates into 877-443-2366. That's toll-free. If you have unlimited long distance, please use that. You'll save the studio a nickel or a buck, and that's area code 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. I do try to check the emails during the breaks, so you're welcome to participate in several ways, via email, via telephone, or join us in the chat room. You'll find a link there to the chat room on the strictlyconfidentialradio.com. I had a couple of issues with the web pages just before the show began, but I think the audio link pages and all of that are up and working at this point in time, and so I believe everyone will be able to connect nicely. Pamela Stanley, wow. When Glenn first called me several weeks back to tell me that he had heard from Pamela Stanley and that he had talked to her about being on the show, my jaw simply dropped. Pamela Stanley is huge, to say the very least, and we're just delighted to have her with us this evening to join the long list of wonderful talent that Glenn Rivera has found us to be guests on this show. Pamela Stanley was born in Philadelphia and began singing with James and Sandra. Now, James and Sandra are her brother and sister when she was only 6 years old. And by the time she was 10 years old, she had already released 3 singles. Yeah, pretty amazing to begin that early, is it not? Wow. Now, she comes from a musical family. Her grandfather was a very talented individual. He could play any stringed instrument that was set before him, and in fact, I think he was also a piano tuner. He turned down a Hollywood career to stay with her grandmother, and Pamela's mother was a musical talent also. She was a major influence in the family, and she was a singer, as well as her mother's sisters. Sandra and Robin are both well-known singers down in the Houston area, and her brother is also well-known, James Lee Stanley. He's a recording artist in Hollywood, California, as well as a writer and producer. He owns his own record company. Pamela, in the mid to late 70s, was actually in New York singing television commercials. And when she got tired of that, she took off and flew to Germany and recorded a worldwide dance hit called This Is Hot for EMI and did extensive touring in Northern Europe and taped many television shows in Germany. Now she has, when she got back from the tour, actually, she and her husband, Frank, produced and released a track called I Don't Want to Talk About It. It was written by her brothers, James, and it went to the top 20 on the Billboard dance chart. Now, this is an amazing accomplishment, considering that the label was Pamela and Frank's own record label, Commander Records, and it was their very first release. And they next produced a classic called Coming Out of Hiding, which was also written by her brother, James. It was released on TSR records, it went to the top four in the Billboard dance charts. It was also played extensively on MTV and Top 40 Video, I believe it's called, and also on Showtime. She was nominated for a Grammy Award for both Record of the Year and Best Female Vocalist on that track. This is amazing when you consider that she was up against and alongside folks like Tina Turner and Madonna for those awards. She did a track called If Looks Could Kill. It ended up being in an Arnold Schwarzenegger film called Raw Deal. It also went to the top 20 on the same charts. I believe also, if I'm not mistaken, If Looks Could Kill was covered by Heart. She's sung with everyone from Bette Midler to Natalie Cole and Frank Sinatra, and it is a delight to have her on the show. She's currently and has been recently doing cruise ship performances, very lucrative, and she's very talented. She, for example, earlier scheduled this year, Rio de Janeiro, the Carnival Cruise, Celebrity Millennium Caribbean Cruise, Norwegian Cruise Line sailing from Miami, Club Med, you name it. Delighted to have Pamela Stanley on the show. And Pamela, welcome to Strictly Confidential. Are you with us, Pamela?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Pamela, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you great.
That's good. If there's any change in that, you just let us know. The studio has lots of knobs and buttons and things they can turn to fix that up in case you were not able to hear each other clearly. Pamela, I'm delighted to have you on the show, and the regular listeners would tell you that my heart is always in my throat when I have someone on the show whose records I used to play in the dance clubs when I was DJing back in the 80s. So you definitely have me on my very best behavior, Pamela.
Oh, thank you.
it's
a thrill to be on the show. It's so fun to be doing a radio show again.
Well, it's a delight to have you, Pamela. We have a broad audience. In addition to the LGBT community, we have a large straight audience who sometimes know less about some of the music or artists that we have on the show than some of the LGBT folks, and they're always curious. In fact, the listeners are always curious about the what made the person. So, really, if you don't mind, I'd love to start about. In Philadelphia, what was it like growing up with a musical family like that, and who encouraged you?
You know, I didn't know. I thought every family was like that. At first, I didn't realize it because, I mean, I'm coming Italians, and like every weekend we'd go to my grandfather's, and he had his cellar fixed up, and he would sit there and play guitar or piano or whatever. I told you, mandolin, banjo. And he was very funny, and he just would sing. And so we all sang, and my mother's sister sang. And then when my brother was 12, he got that ukulele. And I always tell people I learned to sing by the S&M method because my brother took us up to his bedroom, and he put us on our bed, and he went, "You sing this, and you sing that." And if we didn't get it right, he would bend our fingers back. So we learned to harmonize really quick.
Well, I guess you did.
And then we started entering contests, but it just, I tell you, it was so fun. I mean, my mother wouldn't clean the house without singing South Pacific or Sound of Music. I just always heard music.
I see. That's a wonderful story. You know, the ukulele is an especially interesting point. I remember growing up having a ukulele. Those were really odd little instruments. They had a very distinctive little sort of a coming out of a tin can sort of a sound, but they were easy to play.
It was. They were, but then you've got bigger ones, and you can get bigger ukes, and they sounded better.
What type of music did your brother have you sing?
We were doing folk music back then because he was older than us. We did stuff like Kingston Trio, Brothers Four. I'm talking about this was the late 60s. So this is in the 60s. So what's happening is he was really big then, and it was all very harmony groups. Actually, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Mamas and the Papas. We did stuff like that.
Wonderful.
And so
I was just about to say that it sounds like the sort of music we had going on here when growing up with my sisters. Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Mamas and Papas, all those wonderful artists that we had back. And those were definitely sing-along type songs. Those songs stuck in our minds, didn't they?
Yeah. And the vocals were so important, so you had to sing on pitch. You had to be good to pull those off.
Pamela, I'm seeing some
cluster harmonies.
I'm seeing some conflicting information in finding out about you over the last couple of days. Some reports say that you're from Dallas, but other reports say you're from Philadelphia, which is true.
I'm born in Philadelphia. I didn't move to Dallas till I married my second husband.
Oh.
And I got married very young, you know, because, you know, when we were younger, you weren't allowed to sleep with them before marriage. You got married really young. Anyway.
Now, is that when you, I understand that you did a period of time actually doing country music. Now, was that, he had influence in that when you were living in Dallas?
That was when I was 17 and I lived in Norfolk, Virginia. I moved from Philly to Norfolk when I was 8. And I lived there till I was, after my first husband, till I was 20. And I left there in my early 20s after my first divorce. But country music was really big, and that's how I got started. Some of my brothers and sisters, and I had my recording contract from 10 to 13, which, had I realized you were going to mention that, I actually could have emailed you the MP. They're hysterical. I still have them.
Do you really?
They are hysterical.
I would love to actually have those. We could run them at a future date. We often run music from previous guests. Country tunes. Did they actually get recorded, Pamela?
No, I never recorded the country, at 17 I started singing with, that's when I started in the country music, but my brother had gone by then, he'd moved to L.A. by then, and my sister was married, and so I was alone, I was on my own, and I had a boyfriend, a country boy from North Carolina whose parents owned a pig farm.
Oh, this is fabulous. From pig farm to Cancun, it's an everyday story in America.
And he said, "Honey, I think you'd do really good. I'm gonna get you an agent." And so one Saturday morning, he took me down to this agent. There was no PI, no anything. I just walked in the office. The guy said, "Sing." So I sang, and it just so happened that there was a band in the next room looking for a singer. And when I walked out the door, they said, "Was that you?" And I said, "Yeah." So they took me, and they said, "Can you do Harper Valley PTA?" And I said, "Sure," but I didn't know it. He said, "Well, come tonight and audition." And so I ran to the store and got a 45 of Harper Valley PTA, and I learned it. I ran to the show that night, and I got halfway through the song, and I forgot the words, and I didn't know what to do, so I kept going. You know how many verses are in that thing? So anyway, at the end of the song, the guy looked at me. I found my way back in. He said, "You're hired. Anybody that would keep singing through that, you're in."
Oh, one wonders, one could imagine you singing the lyric about the day my mama socked it to the Harper Valley as a 17-year-old on the stage. That had to be...
It is true. When you do look back, you think, like, where did I have the nerve?
Really. Nerve really gets us through a lot of things that common sense won't, doesn't it? It's amazing.
Yes.
What prompted you to move to New York? You moved to New York when you were about 17, too, and New York, to me, coming from the South, seems like a scary place to go when you're only 17.
Yeah, I wasn't 17. They say it was, but they had it wrong. I was early 20s. I was old enough to go to New York. But I tell you, I wanted to be on Broadway. I wanted to be on Broadway. So I went to New York to be on Broadway. And I got a job in a gay piano bar on 46th Street. And then a German producer happened to come in there and see me, and he took me to Europe. That's how I got to Into the Disco, was through a German producer that just accidentally walked into this piano bar. And I was auditioning for Broadway plays.
So we go from from the basement in your parents' home in Philadelphia to a pig farm in Virginia to a piano bar in New York to Germany singing disco. Do I have that just about right?
You really do, honey.
You've got nerve. You have got nerve. I've got to tell you, that's over the top even for me. And I thought I was a nervy person. What was it like going to Germany? You didn't speak the language, I would think.
No, and I got the Berlitz course. And I studied for like 2 months before I was over there. And so I get over there, and I still not very good. And then no one would speak German to me because they all wanted to practice English.
I see.
So I never did speak any German. But, I mean, I'd be in the studio and you hear this, I'm so much funnier, schnauzer, and I'd be like, just sitting there. And then they go, okay, Pamela, sing. You know, and then the funny thing was is when I went over there for the first meeting, they said to me, the German, they go, wie wünsche to write songs. And I'm like, what? No, wie wünsche to write. I go, I don't know how to write. You will write. So I would say to people, when Germans tell you to write, you write. I went back to New York and I wrote my first album in 8 weeks.
Wow.
And all those songs on my very first, This Is Hot. Yeah, This Is Hot. All those ones that you have on Looking Back the Disco Years. I wrote them with another guy.
I see.
A lot of them. And then I had one friend that wrote three.
Did you have to go back to Germany to record them, or were you able to do that in New York?
Absolutely. No. I spent a lot of, for the next 2 years, I spent it mostly in Germany, off and on in Germany. You know, I go back between New York and Germany. And then they put me on tour of Europe, and then they sent me to L.A. Then I moved to L.A. because I was signed to EMI America and EMI Germany and EMI England, and it just went nation. It went worldwide, This Is Hot, the album.
Wow. So what was the
before
the
I knew it, I was
like?
In South America, and it was a whirlwind.
Yeah. Well, what was the nightlife? You spent so much time in Germany. Surely you must have gone out and explored the evening activities and the clubs. What was that like in Germany in those days?
You know, they are fantastic. Germany is such a clean, beautiful country. I mean, and I was in Baden-Baden, Offenburg, Hamburg, all the places we went. But you do more TV than you do nightclubs there. They do a lot of television. But even, I'd say the nightclubs were very, you know, they were a little nervous. They had, their lighting was amazing and their sound systems. Germany's very slick. They're really incredibly intelligent and actually a lot of fun. They love to laugh. And I was so surprised because, you know, how Germans are depicted in movies and stuff. And one thing they are is very disciplined. Like, it's the only time I made an album where you worked from 10 in the morning till 7 at night, 6 days a week. You went in Monday through Saturday, 10 in the morning till 7 with an hour break. And at 7 o'clock, I don't care where you were in recording that thing, it was shut down at 7. And then everyone goes to dinner, and your dinners go from 8 to about 10:30 or 11. That's really, I spent more time in nice restaurants than I actually did clubbing, because I have to tell you, when I was in Europe, I was working. There, you know, you're working all the time. There's not much playtime. I was either driving somewhere to do a concert or showing up at some television, or I'm in Amsterdam, or I'm over in England, or, but it was really fun. I took trains places, and it was such an experience. I'll never forget it.
Wow, it's mind-boggling, really, to think about that, to have an enforced schedule. It's almost like working at an office, yet you're a musical talent. What did you do you can't just sing every day, and you can't just write every day. There are good days and bad days. What was it like? Did you have, like, a straw boss telling you to get to work? How'd that work?
No, the songs were already written. I'll tell you what I had. My budget was unlimited. So every day I would go in and they go, okay, we're going to work on this song today. What would you like to happen on this song? So he would sit me with an orchestra, with a man that wrote out all the work. I mean, I had a 65-piece orchestra on my record. I mean, it was unreal. I would say, I think I'd like a harp, and I'd like a little oboe in this area.
They actually hired
you. It was just let that go through. That somebody trying to get me.
Well, that's just amazing. The very idea, you know, some of the old music, it sounded so rich and lush and lucid and warm because of the live instruments. What do you think of the changes in the way music is done these days versus a 60? That had to be a great experience. Most of the younger people would have no idea how to act with a 65-piece orchestra.
Let me tell you, I just cried. I cried because I wrote these songs, you know, these little songs, like, and I walked in the studio, and there was the orchestra sitting there, and they, like, cut off, and they start playing these strings, and, I mean, I tell you, I just, tears. I was overwhelmed. Wow. And it's true. Wow. You can hear it. There's two things that happen. It's like good news, bad news. When the digital came in and all the drum machines and all that, it made it much easier in some ways because you were right on the money, you know, you weren't counting. And like when I made Disco First, I mean, that poor bass player was playing doo 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 for 6 minutes. You know, I mean, it was all done live.
Yeah.
You know, and on 2-inch tape. I mean, I've gone from my very first recordings, I have been where you sang with the band and it was only 2 tracks. When I was 10, you recorded everything at the same time and you did it over and over until it was right. So I went from that to where I did the 2-inch tracks where you could get 24 tracks or 48 tracks, but I mean, with the live, then I went to digital, then I've gone, now I do all computer. I mean, I have completely done the spectrum of recording. I know a lot about recording.
Well, that's amazing.
I'm a great editor.
I bet you are. I've seen reels of 2-inch tape. All of our listeners have no idea, but it's actually tape that's two inches wide, not this eighth inch like a cassette, but actually 2 inches wide. How do you use a razor blade with tape that wide? Isn't that kind of awkward to edit 2-inch, or do you even bother to do that with the 2-inch? Go ahead.
You don't edit your 2-inch. In fact, one guy talked me into doing it as a big mistake. Coming out of hiding was spliced 38 times, and it was two 2-inch tracks. It was 48 tracks, and two machines locked up to each other. So if you sliced it on one machine, you had to slice it perfectly on the other machine.
Oh, wow.
When you're making splices. But you don't ever do your 2-inch tapes, I learned after. You only do it you only do it when you master it down to where it's just a quarter inch tape or an inch tape. You would do when you used to make the masters before it went to press. You would do it like that.
Well,
you know, you're gonna laugh. My boyfriend will continue to call in here. Do we have a song we can play while I just tell my boyfriend to stop calling?
Well, sure. Why don't we pick a track and do that? You know, our friend Glenn has edited lots of tracks for us. I think you may be working off the same list. Why don't we choose one of the ones that came out of this time frame? How about the first one then? Was This Is Hot, if I'm not mistaken, back in Germany,
this is
right?
That was the first one I wrote, I wrote that with a producer in Germany. Well, you play that, I'm going to call my boyfriend, tell him to stop calling.
Well, you got to admire the guy. He's persistent. Bobby, go ahead and roll the This Is Hot track for us, Bob. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that was one of Pamela's very early hits. That was recorded in Germany, apparently, with a 65-piece orchestra. That would bring tears to my eyes also. Thank you, Glenn, for editing that down to a radio-friendly size. How did boyfriend take it, Pamela?
Oh, he was laughing. He forgot. I mean, I told him, go on the radio, listen to me. He completely forgot. He's so embarrassed. He said he's sorry.
Well, you got to give that guy credit for being persistent. I think that's actually wonderful. He was not having it that you weren't answering your phone. We're not going to have this, Pamela. Not going to deal with it.
No, because I'm out of town. I'm working at a really great club all summer in Rehoboth Beach. I don't just do cruises. I do everything. I'm coming to San Francisco.
Wow, for
Pride? I'm not coming. I'm going to San Francisco just today. I just finished. I'll be there October 13th at the Raz Room. You know, you never know what I'm going to do. I work wonderful cruises with Atlantis Cruises. I do a lot of gay cruises. And
wow.
I do straight cruises, too.
Yeah. Yeah. This beach that you say you're working at a wonderful club at a beach. Now, this beach is in California? You're in California now? Is
no,
that where
this one's. I'm actually in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And the place is called the Blue Moon. And anyone from Washington, D.C., from Virginia Beach to New York to all of this, it's a very big, it's a resort area, and it has a lot of, it's very gay-friendly. It's a lot of the gay community is here. And I play a restaurant that is both gay and straight. It's really amazing. It's a wonderful place I play here.
It sounds wonderful. Do you do some of the high energy stuff? Because, you know, Pamela, I've got to tell you, I grew up in the South, so I know my summer times. I know them well. And I have got to tell you that Glenn sent a track where you did Summertime, and it is to die for. Are you doing music like that at the club? What sort are you doing?
I do everything, any show I do now, because I have a blues record, a jazz record, a Broadway record, and my disco. I am a music, I love different types of music. So when I do a show here, I will do some jazz, then I'll go to Broadway, I'll do some funny, silly songs, I'll do disco, I do New Orleans blues and jazz. I am so versatile because I have loved all these different types of music and I've spent years in each venue. Like I spent 10 years in the disco world and then from 94 on, I went into blues, jazz. And earlier I would have done Broadway, but then I came back to Broadway. So my spectrum of music is a lot.
Wow.
I have a lot. And I say I have musical ADD because I never can stay, but my shows jump all over the place.
Well, one of the interesting facts I came across was in Fort Lauderdale, you actually had a New Orleans-style jazz blues band for a number of years and became quite successful down there with that.
It was fantastic. I had a violinist. You're going to love it. The band was five pieces. It was me and a girl sax player that was so hot, a blonde, and I had a bass player and a drummer, guys, and then I had a girl violinist. Now, this is what I love about this girl violinist. She was a classically trained ballerina and violinist who grew up and went to Vassar and became a lawyer, and how she made her way through college is she stripped on the side.
Oh, my God.
So when she played violin, she would get on top of my grand piano, and she could do back bends while she played violin. I mean, the band was just hot. I'm not kidding.
Scandalous. Absolutely scandalous. But, wow, the crowds must have loved it.
We were really popular. I did that for about four and a half years. By the time 89 came, I had a baby. He was 7 by then. And I decided that it was time to I moved to Vegas after that. There's so much. We need like 6 days of it. I had been living in Vegas. Yeah. And then I realized that he was going to turn 10. So in 92, that's when I decided that I was going to get off the road and I was going to stay one place until he went to college. And I picked Fort Lauderdale because I had a wonderful job offer there to do this New Orleans music, and I love a challenge. So I said, okay, I've never done jazz or New Orleans. I said, sure, I'll try it.
Wow.
So we moved there, and we went there strictly. And his mother, my husband's mother, lived there. So we went down there to be near her, so Frankie could be near the grandmother. And I started a whole new life. And I started writing. You know, but it was great for me.
This is the young man who went to Florida State University in Tallahassee?
Yes, and he's in New York now.
He is. That's amazing. So you've been through Tallahassee. You know my neck of the woods to a degree, don't you?
I love Tallahassee.
Well, lots of trees.
You know, it's so... I liked it because you still had the city there because of the government and all that stuff, but you still felt like it had some country to it, and I loved the rolling hill. I just loved it there. I was really happy when he picked Florida State.
Well,
I'm glad he loved it.
He did. How old is he now?
He's 25.
25, and he's an attorney in New York. He certainly got a great start then from FSU to make it.
Yeah.
If you could make it there,
oh, no,
you could make it
anywhere. He's not an attorney. He's in stocks. He's in stocks.
In stocks. I see.
He's a gambler.
He's a gambler. I see. Well, you had mentioned a moment ago that you had gone back to New York and done Broadway music. Now, you had also earlier in the interview said that it was your dream to do Broadway. Did you perform in some shows there, or are you sang? How did that work with the Broadway experience with music?
What I did was, when I was younger, I was auditioning. I did Cattle Claws and stuff. And the closest I got to being in a Broadway play was I went for a cattle call. I was called in to do it. I got to the last five girls. I sang for Harold Prince, and it was for this new play coming out in the late 70s. And they turned out picking this little B.I.T. named Patti LuPone for Evita. She got it over me. And that was the closest I got. But here was the weird thing. I was auditioning for that play at the same time I got offered the record deal in Germany. So it was the same time. It was 78. And I said to myself, if I get the play, I will do the play. If I don't get the play, I'm on my way to Germany. And I didn't get the play that night, and I think I left 2 days later for Germany.
Wow.
That's how I decided that would kind of be the determining factor. And I meant to go back to Broadway, but I never knew that my career was going to do all that. So I never have made it back to Broadway, and now I have to tell you, I sing better than I ever sang. When I hear that voice, when this is hot, that voice sounds so young. Now I'm really ready for Broadway. People even tell me my voice is big, like Ethel Merman. I have a Broadway voice now. It just developed.
Well,
I will go back and play the older parts.
Yeah. Some of the information about you tells me that is it pronounced bel canto, meaning beautiful singing in Italian? Is that right? Is that a special technique that you?
No, it was how someone described me that was a writer at the time. He wrote an article, and that's how he described me.
Yeah.
It just means that I can go from sweet tones to large tones to, you know, It's just having a lot of control over your voice, and I don't know why he described me that way, but he did, and I liked it.
I liked it too. In fact, I had to actually Google it to find out what exactly he was talking about. Apparently, it originated back in the 17th century. It was a technique, and also means beautiful singing, which you do. Tell us, please, about the Christmas special in South America.
You know, I get myself in it. Are you ready for this? Now, this is hot that we just played.
Yeah.
Here it was out, and it was number 13, and I'm traveling all over the country, and EMI is funding my tour, and I get to Miami, and I get up on the morning, and I call back to L.A., and I go, could I please speak with Joey Palminteri, who was the head of the disco department? And they go, Joey Palminteri is no longer here. I go, what? I mean, like yesterday he was there. Today he's not there. No, well, let me talk to anyone in the disco department. And they go, well, we're sorry, but the disco department is shut down. I go, what? They closed disco. They got scared in the end of 79, right before 80, that the headlines came out, disco dies. Do you remember that when they were like saying, disco's over there? And so they pulled all the money from my tour, and they left me in Miami. My dad in Miami was nothing. So I didn't know what I was going to do, and my sister had gotten married recently, and I met her mother-in-law, Bethany, who lived in South Florida, so I called her. I said, "Hi, Ida, can I come and visit you?" Because I thought, I got to see what I'm going to do. Make a long story short, some guy that owned a club down in Ecuador had bought my records in Miami and loved me, and he was having a birthday party. 2 days after they pulled my money for the tour, I get a call from Ecuador, where I'll please come and sing at this guy's birthday party.
Yes.
And I'm a sport. I went. I said, sure. Fuck a damn.
Yes.
So I said,
yes,
Ida, sure, nice to see you, Ida. I'm out of here. I flew down there, and on the way down, I sit next to this guy and this girl, and I'm talking to them, and I like to talk. And this man and this woman, and it just so happens that she works at a television station. She, by the time we got down there, she mentions me to the television station. They call me. They get in touch with EMI America. I get my record released within, like, less than 2 weeks. And when I played down at the first weekend, I was supposed to play this guy's birthday party. The government has this coup, and the whole club shut down, and I didn't know if I was in the other country. They said, "Do you mind waiting another week because we had to put up the birthday party?" I'm like, "No, I don't care." So in the meantime, she says, "Well, since you're going to be here, do you mind being on this television show?" So I go on the Christian Johnson show down there, and I'm speaking broken Spanish, and every time I said anything in Spanish, the people would roar, and they asked me to sing, so they ended up loving me, and they had me on every week. I ended up staying in Ecuador for a month. My record was released. I have an article written on me, and they ended up giving me a Christmas special off my own.
A Christmas special in Ecuador, Pamela. This is off the chart. That's amazing. What, on Ecuador television?
Yes, and I have a DVD out. I don't know if you got it, but I have a wonderful DVD that if you buy the Looking Back CD off my website, you get a free DVD with it. And it's three of the tracks are from that show, and it's hysterical. The outfit, the horrible television that they had down there, you know, that was so amateur.
Wow.
It was really, really fun.
Pamela, tell us your website there. Would you have a chance? Go ahead.
It's www.pamelastanley.com. And Pamela is spelled P-A-M-A-L-A. I don't spell it the regular.
Yeah.
And people
Pamela,
always
they're,
say
they're...
why.
Yeah, well, okay.
Why do
game?
I spell
why?
My name, P-M-A? I know. Yeah. And when I was 17, I went to the movie, and I saw a movie called Funny Girl.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with that. And I noticed that the girl that was the star of it, Barbara Streisand, spelled her name B-A-R-B-R-A. And she didn't have her A. She dropped her A. And I thought, well, I'm dropping my A. I'm dropping my E. I'm picking up her A. So I dropped the E out of my name, and I picked up Barbara's A.
Wow.
And I've been spelling it that way ever since.
That's a great story. I've heard of lots of stories of people changing the spelling of their name, but never one quite that unique. Pamela, there's some questions for you that are coming out of the chat room. One question is regarding Ralph Stanley. Now, Ralph Stanley sang on the soundtrack of Brother, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Are you related to Ralph Stanley?
You know, I don't know, but I do have a very large Stanley family. If he's from Tennessee, Georgia, if it's anywhere in that area, I might be related to him. There are a few Stanleys around, but I've never researched it. But I don't know him personally.
I see. Another question for you. When we're talking about editing tape, and that we have VJC is one of our DJs. He's in the chat room. He's a Disco 935 in New York. He's asking, can you mix? In other words, do you DJ too? I mean, you do all these things. We're wondering if you're also a DJ.
I tell you, I produce, I mix records like that, but as far as being a DJ, I am in awe of how you get two records going at the same time and switch. That I don't know how to do, and that's I'm in awe of how they do that. My son did it. He DJ'd.
Yeah.
But no, I tried it a couple of times. It really is not that easy.
Did he DJ in Tallahassee by any chance?
No, he DJed in South Florida. He was a bartender in Tallahassee at Florida State at one of those, at Potbellies, which was really big. He was the head bartender there for... My son did the 5.5-year plan, you know. A lot of party, a little school. A lot of party, a little school.
Yeah, at Florida State offers a great 5.5-year plan. They really do. Also, I have a message for you, Pamela. I'm to tell you that the boys from Belgium are saying hello to you. Do you know the boys from Belgium? Also, there's a special hello from the boys in Belgium from Irwin. I believe Irwin is to say hello to you.
I remember the guys from Belgium. Ask him if I met them in Mykonos.
Oh, well, this was via email, so I don't have
email.
Them.
Oh, by email.
Yeah, yeah, the people participate by email and call in. There's all kind of different ways.
Isn't that so sweet? Can you make a youth over there?
Yes, yes. Anywhere there's a computer in the entire planet, people are listening to. You know, Glenn's mailing list. Glenn Rivera, our friend who was gracious enough to have you join us, has an extensive mailing list. So it went out, the announcement went out all over the world. So we have listeners everywhere, and a lot of them will be listening to this after the fact because the stream is available as an archive.
I'm glad because a lot of people have emailed me and said, I'm here, can I get it later? And I said yes.
Absolutely.
I told them that they could listen to it later.
Absolutely. I'll be sure that you, in fact, get a copy of that. What in the world is Fort Lauderdale's boat parade and Winterfest? I'm finding out things here that I don't know goes on. What was that about? What did you do there?
That is a huge, for years, I'm talking, I don't know how many years they've been having the boat parade in Fort Lauderdale. We're talking like over 100 boats, that yachts that completely, anywhere from, you know, over 100 feet yacht to a, I don't know, it's 100 foot, maybe 80 foot down to the smallest little teeny dinghy that wants to decorate. What happens is they have judges, and it's huge. We bring in always some major star that comes in, and they're the master ceremonies for the parade. And so they have it every year, and all the boats compete for the best lighting, the best entertainment, the best theme, you know, goes on and on. And so I was asked to, do this boat for these wealthy people that are really great people. And so I said, sure, I'll sing. Well, I didn't know that you win for that. So I won that a couple years in a row as best entertainment on the, it's really, it's aired like all over the, they have many, many stations. I mean, I don't want to say over the world, but you can see it in many parts of the world. It was aired. You know, it was a lot of fun, but it was hard because sometimes I was singing. One year it was pouring rain and I'm out there singing for 3 hours. I was sicker than a dog after it. But I
want. Pamela, let's jump to another city. I want you to tell us the story of Boston and Kiss FM and what you did to the car next to you.
You heard that story?
I hear many things.
The first time I ever heard, I don't want to talk about it, I'm driving down the road in Boston, and all of a sudden, the car next to me, and my car is up next, so I had Kiss FM, was playing I Don't Want to Talk About It, and I could hear the guy next to me, and there was my song for the very first time, and I am screaming out the window at him, look, that's me, that's me. And you know Boston people, yeah, right, he's looking at me, he's giving me this dirty look, yeah, sure. He just drives off, and I was like, no, really, that's me. And one time in New York, this guy is buying this record. This is hot. I'm standing in the record store, and I go, you're buying that record? He goes, yes, my daughter really loves her. I said, well, that's me. He goes, yeah. Would you let me sign that for your daughter? No. I mean, he was so rude. No, I don't. No, really, I thought, yeah, right. No, I promise that's me.
That's amazing.
The man did not want me to sign it.
So the first time you ever heard your track, I Don't Want to Talk About It, played it, that was the very first time, and you were so excited you yelled at the guy in the car next to you. That's priceless, really.
It's me, it's me. Yeah, right.
Pamela, we have a caller on the line. VJC is on the line to talk with you. Pamela, VJC is Victor. He runs disco935.net in New York. Welcome to the show, Victor.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Pamela. It's VJC from disco935 here in New York.
Hello.
I run an internet station. I've been doing it for 10 years, and I played 70s, 80s disco music and beyond. I featured your music many times in mixes, and I've been hearing the show, and you're all right. You're all right. You sound so bubbly. You sound so down to earth, too.
Well, I appreciate you playing my music, can I tell you? Because I didn't realize that they were still playing it so much. In the last few years, I told them I waited till my son grew up, and then I started going out again. And uh-huh. I am amazed. I can't thank you enough.
Well, here in New York, This Is Hot was a real big hit back in the day. The station's called KT and BLS. Used to rock it real hard. And even in the club, they still play, but not as much. But it still sounds so sweet still from back in the day. It sounds like it just you just heard it from yesterday. I mean, 30 years later, whatever, it sounds great. I mean, that's the beauty of the music back in the day. It still sounds so sweet, and it's like the stuff that they play today. It only lasts for a couple of months, and then it fades away. This stuff that was played back in the day, it still sounds it's classic. It just won't go away. It's like it's classical music. It's just classical. In my opinion.
Well, it amazes me because my son's 25 and he listens to 80s disco, 70s and 80s.
Right. If you notice when you listen to that music, it still sounds like it was just yesterday. And even though the time has gone by, but it's like time didn't go by. But if you listen to today's music, because everything is computerized, for some reason everything sounds the same. The music and the vocals, whether it's male or female, and it's just there's no distinguish. You know, you can't distinguish from one sound to the other sound because they all sound the same because everybody's trying to make a buck. Anyway, the thing is why I also called was that I've been hearing you and Peter discussing about your many, many talents about editing and all this stuff. So I was saying, you know, I need a female DJ on my station. And I thought you DJ.
Do you have to mix like from one to another or can you play a song and talk and play a song? I'm good at that.
Well, if you could do like a show like that, I mean, fine. And, you know, if you like to do that stuff, it's no problem. But the thing is, I mean, if you can mix, but I've been hearing that you said you can't mix, so I can also teach you.
Well, I bet you could.
There's ways of doing it with software. You know, you could do some magical things with software on the computer. There's ways of doing that, but I mean, I don't use software. I do everything live with CD players. I used to use turntables too. I used to do turntables and CD players, and mix my music. And I got away from the vinyl because everything is now digital. So now everything I use is basically MP3s and CDs. So that's what
Pamela, it sounds like you have a job offer in New York when you're done with Delaware.
You can just. I'm not that far from New York. I'm coming up to see my son. I would love to meet with you. I've never thought of doing that, but that could be a blast.
Well, you there is my website. You have the website that, Peter can give it to you, disco935.net. You can go in there. There's an email there, and you can contact each other and see what happens. But
okay, and you can go to my website. We can do it.
I know, and also I have your MySpace, right?
I have a MySpace, too.
Right, I just send you an invitation or whatever, so I could, chat back and forth, whatever it is. But the fact of the matter is, I've been playing your music for a long time. You have a great voice, and continue your great work. I mean, you have such a lot of, you're very talented. I mean, from what I'm just hearing so far in the show, especially for a woman to say she knows how to edit and everything. That's a bonus in itself because a lot of ladies like that who sing and everything, they just don't know anything about the studio. But from what I've been gathering, that's great. That's great. It's a great thing.
But I will tell you something exciting.
Yes.
Paul Parker has written some new songs for me, and I'm going to be producing some new stuff. Actually, Paul Goodyear is going to be producing me with a Paul Parker song, and also I'm going to be working with Rick Giannatos. Do you remember Rick that mixed my first record? So in the fall, I'm really looking forward to some. I'm going to have some new, and I'm actually going to go ahead and do more dance music. I thought I was too old.
No, but all the old girls are coming back.
Let me tell you something, Pamela. I'm 52 years old. So, I mean, I'm still DJing, and I've been running the station. I mean, whatever. So it's never too old. It's how you feel inside.
Great, and I joined Weight Watchers, so I look good too.
Peter had a couple of weeks ago, Linda Clifford on. I mean, and she's got to be up in her 60s somewhere. She sounds so great. I seen her, you know, she looks good, and she still sounds great. I mean, come on.
She's a girlfriend of mine. I love her.
Whatever. I know you people are much older than me, but whatever. The thing is the fact of the matter is, if you do have the singles, whatever you have, you can pass them my way. I will play them on Disco 93.5. I mean, I will push the music as much as I can. So if you send me some, you know, your singles, whatever, as promos, whatever, I will push them out there.
Well, great, Victor. Her MySpace page and also her site link is right there on the Strictly Confidential Radio. So it's easy to find. And I'll make sure you get the disco935.net link, Pamela.
All right. Nice talking to you, Pamela.
Nice to talk to you, Victor.
Okay, and continue the show. You sound so sweet.
Thank you.
Yes, she's delightful.
Have a good night. And Peter, as always, excellent job. You are the bomb.
Thank you, Victor. You're delightful. Thank you for calling, Victor. Pamela, I'd love to take a moment to play for the folks who haven't heard I Don't Want to Talk About It. As I said, we have a large mix of listeners, and some of them probably, even though the huge majority has heard it, many of them have not. And I want them to hear the song that caused you to scream out the car window, "That's me! That's me!" I think that's a priceless story in Boston. And Glenn has edited these down to a nice radio length, and we'll proceed after that. Bob, go ahead and please run the I Don't Want to Talk About It track.
Turns around me.
Wow. Wonderful track from back in the day. Did you do that at Studio 54? Was that the one where you went out on the walkway? Was that the track you did there? Wow.
Yeah, but that's the very first track that my husband Frank, now his second husband, we actually produced that record. That was the very first time I ever produced a record all by myself.
Wow.
And
wow.
That was very exciting. And I wasn't planning on doing it. He made me do it. I didn't think I could do it. But we had hired a producer, and we didn't like what it sounded like. He looked at me, and he said, "You're going to produce this record." I go, "I don't know how to produce a record." He goes, "Yes, you do. Go do it."
And you ended up at Studio 54. And apparently the crowd went wild.
And then we ended up there Christmas Eve and Christmas night. And I'm thinking, who is going to go out? And it was...
Oh, everybody. Yeah, I should think so. Amazing experience. Do you remember what you're wearing? Is that photographically etched in your mind, the entire scenario there?
Well, you know what? I must have played there about 7 or 8 times. So I'm thinking, what was my first outfit? Oh, God, I hope it wasn't the red one.
Well, I'm told that you could fit in a lot of the clothes very easily that you used to wear back in those days, and you could still do disco in them. Did I get that right?
Well, let me tell you. Now, after I just joined Weight Watchers, yes. I always say before I do coming in hiding, I always say 20 years and 20 pounds ago.
Pamela, the the job offers keep coming in for you, Pamela. There's an additional email here from Ernest Cole. Ernest says that he's listening to you on the show, and he says, "How are you, Pam? Do you remember you almost produced my first record when I was a kid?" And he says, "My next album's going to be a duet after the one I'm currently working on and recording." And he's asking, "Would you do me the honor of being one of the many great stars doing a duet with me?" He's saying that Paul Goodyear said he would produce the track with Elliot Sokolov, and he said it would be hot and that he loves us both. What do you think about that, Pamela?
I love it. You know what? Ernest is so cute. We were going to do something. I don't even know what happened, why we didn't get to finish that. I don't know. I'm trying to even think. But you know what? We have bumped into each other online, and he is such a doll. I would love to do something with Ernest.
Well, Ernest,
wouldn't that be great?
Absolute sweetheart. He's been on the show several times. We always enjoy his stories. You know, he played Frankenfurter, I believe, in on Broadway or slightly off Broadway and back in the day in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Did you know that detail?
I didn't know that.
Oh, that's an amazing story. You never know what he's gonna say to you next. Well, we'll look forward to you coming on with Ernest Cole after you guys do a new track.
Okay. Oh, my God, that would be so cool.
Yeah, it would be. I think it would be delightful. I want you to tell us about your son watching Sesame Street in the limo.
Oh. Well, you know, it was so funny because 82, I had just had a baby in October. And then I got called to do a job in November. In Dallas, and we were living in Dallas at the time, and that's where we did I don't want to talk about it, we produced it there, and with really great guys named Ray Hilsendegger and David. Ray and David, Ray Cooper and David Hilsendegger, and they owned a thing called Oaklawn Records. Well, anyway, they called us to do a job. We do this job, and my husband sees me on stage, and I had stopped singing for a while because I got married and I had a baby, and he looked at me and he said, "You are not going to be a housewife. You are going to sing. That's what you're supposed to do." And he kind of forced me to, he said, "We're going to make a record." And that's how we did I Don't Want to Talk About It, was because of that. So, well, then Frankie, when I Don't Want to Talk About It actually came out, Frankie was like 8 or 9 months old. I had to go on the road. So for the next 3 years, I just took Frankie with me everywhere I went. So what would happen is pretty soon we just was raised on airplanes and limos. So we'd be going all the way to the airport.
Yeah, 5 and a half years at FSU, and now he's on Wall Street. I mean, it didn't hurt him at all.
Oh, he is the most well-adjusted person. I mean, he has been well-traveled. He's met Bette Midler. He, I mean, I have a picture of him on one of the parades that I did. You remember Balky from the show Cousins or something? Remember that show where he talks real far? Oh, I forget his name. Look at me. Anyway, he's got pictures of people that he just traveled. But anyway, he would watch Sesame Street on the way to the airport. He'd be like, come on, Mommy, the Sesame Street. So he'd put it on in the limo. He would watch it. He thought everybody grew. He said he didn't know that everybody didn't really grow up like that. He went to Vegas one time. He said he felt really bad because he went to Vegas with his college buddies. And they met people, and every time somebody had a story, Frankie had a story that was better, and he didn't mean to be. But it's just that his life has been very exciting. He said,
the
Mom, I didn't realize that.
I was going to say the chat room tells you that that program was Perfect Strangers that you're referring to.
Perfect Strangers, that's it.
Yeah. The chat room keeps
Thank God for
the
other
line.
People.
Exactly. They can't expect us to remember everything.
They keep me in line. I am the busiest one.
What a great story. So you're still close. You and your son are still close. And what a remarkable experience growing for him to grow up with you in that spotlight. I mean, what a great. What a great thing to have a mom and to have all those, a mom that had those experiences and be able to share those things. It's remarkable.
We are really close. In fact, my mother-in-law sits us at opposite ends of the table because everybody goes, we don't like when you sit next to each other because all you do is check, 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 check. We just love to see each other.
That's remarkable. What a wonderful story. Pamela, I want you to tell us about summertime. I before the evening's out, I would love for them to hear that. Now that is a remarkable track and very, very different from the music that they've just heard. And it's from your CD, I believe, called what is it, Cookin' or what was it?
No,
CD
that
called?
One's called It's a. Well, which summertime are you playing? Are you playing? I'm singing it.
Yes, you're singing Summertime, and Glenn did an edit for me, and it says it's from a CD. There's a paren on it. That's called Cookin'. Let's see. I'm looking for the title here.
One was called Live and Cookin', but that's the CD. That's CD I did with that New Orleans band. I don't know if you're going to be playing the one where she's playing violin on it, or I recorded it twice. I did it a jazz version on my It's All in the Game CD, which is all jazz classics. Me singing Bye Bye Blackbird, Where or When, Someone to Watch Over Me, What a Wonderful World. I did all those kind of jazz classics, Moonlight in Vermont, Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans. It's a beautiful, if you want a glass of wine and you just put it in the background, and it is such a lovely, I'm really proud of that record, and I recorded it with this man named Eddie Higgins. Eddie Higgins played with Nancy Wilson and I can't even think of all the, he's in his 70s now, and he's been playing since he was 20, and he's very, very well known in the jazz world. So I did the CD with him. And if you're going to do this, where I'm singing all the time when it's all in the game, if you're going to do violin and I only sing four lines, then it's Live and Cooking. Because when I got this violinist, I said to her, you should play the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know which one you're playing.
I don't either. It's something that was new to me that Glenn has sent along, but I'm looking forward to your telling us about it after we hear the track. You'll know more about which version it was. Because I've got to tell you, growing up in the South, I know my summer times, and this is one hell of a summertime. Bob, roll the track, please.
Oh, your daddy's red.
Pamela, wow. Can you sing? I've got to tell you, that melts me. That's stunning.
Thank you. You know, now that's the only section I sing in. That particular one is off the Live and Cooking, is the CD I had with that. That was me singing live.
Wow.
That was a live CD I did with this band, and it's only available on iTunes. I have all my songs are on iTunes. I think I have 62 songs
wow.
on iTunes.
Yeah.
And that particular song is Summertime. And that's the one with the violinist that I told you about with the ballerina. Oh, she's just amazing. Her name is Randy Fischenfeld. And if you think that section is good, you want to hear all the violin work she does in that song. It's really her song, and it's funny he cut out the one section I sang. But that is a really good, and I have to tell you, that is my arrangement of it. I have to take credit for that one. I don't know why I even got that arrangement. You know, I learn a song, I have no clue what's going to happen. I always say, I just start learning, and then my soul takes over. I learn a song like I think it's supposed to be this way, and then 3 months later it sounds like a totally different song, but I didn't know that I changed it. I didn't even know when it happened. But something takes over. All my songs change. It's really
wonderful.
Interesting. I feel like I'm a channel, and I'm just sitting here.
Yeah.
And the music just comes through me. I just love it.
Yeah, a really talented person, that the subconscious works on the music all the time, and great ideas just appear as if by magic. It's a gift, Pamela, and you're very, very good at it.
Thank you. I'm so glad you played that one because, she said, I just saw her a few weeks ago. He's in Florida, in South Florida, and I surprised her, and she still has a band going. In fact, she's the violinist that they'll bring, like, if big acts come through and they need a violinist, she's the one they always call. And she played with Air Supply and all these people.
Really? And this is the person who stood on your piano? This is the same person?
Yes, that's the girl. You know, when I saw her last week, I thought, I'm not done with her yet. I will use her again, and she will do a show with me again. Her and I together on stage, like, I'm good and she's good, but when we get together, it is, I can't even explain it to you. There is an electricity that happens when the two of our energies get together. She's just an amazing woman. Very bright woman. Crazy, but bright.
And she's still in South Florida, then, is she?
She's in South Florida. If you want to see her, her band is called Blue Fire. If you live in the Fort Lauderdale area, look for Randy, the violinist, but the band is called Blue Fire. And I just saw them a few weeks ago with my son. My son and I were down there together. And she is better than ever. Better than ever.
Was a great reunion. You guys probably had a great time reminiscing.
Oh, my God. She was so surprised to see me because I've been gone for so many years. Because I left Florida 5 years ago. I started really going on the road. 2003 is when I started doing cruise ships. I started leaving and then doing Europe and South America. Oh, I've played Greece so many times. It's a blast. Mykonos on the island of Mykonos.
Yeah.
What a time. It's incredible. You go to the little store and you buy your meat, and you go to the vegetable store. And you live in apartments. They have no screens. I mean, like when you open your window, it's open. And you feel like you're living in an apartment from 1940. Like I had two burners. It was a hot plate with two burners in my apartment.
Wow. What a great story.
Mykonos is a great. People don't go to dinner till 11 o'clock.
They don't. Imagine that. Most people in my neck of the woods are in bed at 11 o'clock.
I'm telling you, it's totally different over there.
Wow.
It's a great place. Yeah, it's a place called Mons Parnasse. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll talk and talk.
No, please do. Please do. In fact, we've had a comment that they're thrilled to hear about the Greek islands. Matter of fact, so go for it.
They've been there?
There's a comment, the Greek islands, what a dream.
Oh, it is. It is. It is so fantastic. It's like going back in time, but yet they're modern. And the food is scrumptious.
I bet.
It's a tomato. You know?
What time of year were you there?
I usually play this. There's a place called Montparnasse, and it's a great club in Mykonos, and I usually play there Septembers. Every September, I did it June, July, and then I did it last three Septembers. Now, this year, I can't go. I feel terrible that I can't make it, but I have other obligations I have to do this September. So I won't get to go this year, but I'll go again next year.
Pamela, there's a story about you that I came across today. You were playing in San Francisco, and apparently there was a fabulous drag queen on the dance floor at the Dreamland.
Gorgeous drag queen.
Tell us this story, because this person is dear to video.
Well, I'm on the stage, and I'm looking down, and Dreamland was a fantastic disco in San Francisco, and it had this kind of wrap, kind of like a stairway, but it was also more like a ramp, and it was just really beautiful. And I saw this drag queen down there, and I tried to pull this drag queen up on the stage, and he wouldn't come up. And I said, well, come on, come on. And he looks at me and goes, Pamela, leave me alone. It's Sylvester. Sylvester.
As some of our listeners haven't been properly introduced to Sylvester, tell us about Sylvester. Of course, many of us know, but some of the listeners don't know who Sylvester is.
What a fantastic entertainer. Sylvester had the biggest heart. He was fun and warm and sweet, and he really was a pretty woman when he dressed up as a woman. And he and Paul Parker and I were really close friends, and every time I go to San Francisco, we would always hang out at the nightclubs together. He just was a really great, what a talent. And it was so sad. And when he got sick, you know, Paul took care of him till he died. Paul Parker.
I see.
Nursed him until he died. I'm talking carrying him around. Paul is in, Paul was a trained nurse before he became in the disco world. Paul Parker is probably one of my, I can't tell you how much I admire and love that man. And what a voice.
Yes, Paul has been a guest, and I've got to tell you, he was a huge hit. The listeners loved him. What an engaging person, and of course, the music is wonderful. And you're about to do some more work with him, and we have a track, an older track that you had done with him, Running Around in Circles, which we can run in just a minute. But tell us about maybe some more detail about what you're about to do with Paul.
Well, a few years ago, I was out there for a week with him in November. I went and visited him, and we started working on a bunch of stuff. He said, Pam, I've written some things, you know, and I don't think they're for me. I think they're for you. And so we spent a week, and I must have gone through maybe 7 songs I put down vocals for, of stuff that he wrote. And I'm telling you, they're wonderful. Well, we started to put them, but he's limited. He's a self-taught player also, just like I am. So we get limited. We have to hire musicians and do certain things. Well, he got busy, and we tried to work with a couple of different producers, but they just didn't get the tracks the way we wanted them. And I don't release stuff if it's not wonderful anymore. You know, I don't do that. And so what happened was, it's just kind of been put in the back burner. We've been looking for the right guy to come along and finish these two projects with us, because both of us feel that at this time in our musical careers, we need someone younger that's really in it. You know, it's almost like each generation is born with a certain innate ability to handle that decade. You know what I mean? So we were looking for someone that is, that's just maybe in his 30s, early 30s or something. Well, we ended up meeting Paul Goodyear, and when I met Paul on the cruise ship, I didn't know he was working with Paul Parker. I meet Paul Goodyear, and we fall in love, and then I find out he's working with Paul Parker. So then now he is moving to San Francisco, and now he and Paul are going to I get to come out there, and I'll get to finish it with them. So I'm real excited, and the track that I really want to do is one that he wrote called, we're calling it, everybody get on the floor. We don't know what to call it. I don't know if it's called Dance to the Music. It goes, you know, everybody get on the phone and dance to the music. Come on, everybody. I mean, it's just like really up-tempo and powerful. And I'm waiting to do the song. I've been waiting for 4 years to do this.
Bless your heart.
And I'm telling you, I have shopped it to different people. I've tried to get them interested. And they will go, oh, that's really good. That's good. And I don't hear from them, or they get busy. And if so, I just know that the timing must not have been right. And it'll come out when it's right. But I'm hoping it's this year. I really am.
Well, I hope so too, Pamela. Pamela, tell us about the tell us about the Paul Parker track that we have loaded in the queue, Running Around in Circles. How did that song come about, and what was the time, and what was the adventure with doing that with Paul?
Let's see. Paul had written that song, and he was working with Ian out of England. And so he said to me, did I record it in San Francisco, Florida? He came to Florida. And he said, Pammy, you just got to do this track with me. Please do this track with me. And there were two of them. We did both Stranger in a Strange Land and Run Around a Circle at the same weekend. And so I tell you the truth, I think I was in San Francisco. I think we talked about it in Florida. I ended up in San Francisco. And we went in and recorded all the tracks in San Francisco over a weekend. And then those tracks were sent to England, and then Ian mixed these two. So, and then it was put out on TSR Records because I was already on TSR Records. And I think he had also produced a couple of Paul's tracks on TSR Records. So he wanted to pair us up because we were always booked together. People loved Paul and I on stage together because Paul has a shy demeanor on stage and I'm the opposite. Huh. And so when you put us together on stage, we brought we got the best out in each other. So we were constantly booked together.
Wow.
In Chicago, man. So anyway, so this is the track of that. And so when I came out with this, I called Paul. I said, Paul, I'm putting these two tracks on, okay? He's going, yeah, thanks. And I called TSR Records, said, can I have the rights to use this track? So Tom Hayden is a wonderful man. I have to thank Tom Hayden for my career, too. TSR Records. He's a great man.
Yeah, I would
like to have
Tom.
I've had some really great
Hayden
people come through.
Yeah.
Huh?
I would love to have him on the show at some point, Paul Hayden. You know, there's so many wonderful people that, you know, it would take 100 years. It would take 6 shows just to for you to tell all your stories. You know, it's going to take a long time to get through all these wonderful people. And,
you know, if you want Tom Hayden, I can contact him. And he did Hazel Dean. He did Miguel. You know, so many men. He did her. There's a lot of people that he brought to the U.S.
Well, we would
you'd love probably
to
like
him
on your show.
I probably would. He sounds like my kind of guy. I believe Bob has running around in circles queued up. Now, this is Pamela Stanley with Paul Parker, and Glenn Rivera has edited this down for us. This is about 1986, isn't it, Pamela?
Running Around in Circles was, yeah, around then. Somewhere in the from 80 to 88, maybe it was somewhere in there. I'd say that. Yeah, that's one good. I can't remember.
Listeners are looking forward to this one because they now know you and they've met Paul Parker on the show too. So let's run this one then. Bob, run the track called Running Around in Circles, please, sir. Pamela, I have to tell you that one of our chatters in the chat room, ELO, has located a picture of you with Paul Parker and has posted it. We're, many of us are looking at it as we speak. You're wearing a headband. So it's like a, sort of a Jimi Hendrix. This is priceless. And Paul is standing next to you doing the Paul Parker thing, which is always fabulous. You guys just look like you're having a great time. This is at on DJ's portal. Do you remember that picture being taken?
I absolutely remember the picture. The headband is blue and black. Let's get physical. Everybody's wearing spandex.
That's how you look. You look just like her there. I mean, you've got her whole look. I mean, it's totally written on your face. it's such a great picture, the two of you together. Do you recall the event? What were you guys doing?
Let's see. Where was that? That was either in Florida or it was either in Chicago. That might have been Chicago.
A radio poster behind you two. It looks like W something NT.
Oh, that's Boston. Was it WT? Oh. That's Boston. I'm sorry. That's Boston. WTN or something?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
That's Paul Boston. Parker's.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's right. We used to play Boston a lot. I'm telling you, the Northeast, California, the Midwest actually was really big, and Florida was huge, like from Georgia down. I'd say Chicago area, those are the big ones. And Texas, naturally, because that's where I was living at the time. But we went everywhere. Oh, gosh, Paul and I were always together. People thought we were a couple.
Is that a fact? And what a sweet couple you would make. I mean, honestly, the picture is just priceless.
You know, I can't tell you. I don't know what it is about our personality. We just, from the minute we met, we just loved each other. I just love that man. He just is, the way his face looks is really how he is. That's sweet. And he's so handsome.
Yes, but he looks like a sweetheart at the same time. He's not the sort of inaccessible handsome that some people are. He looks like there's a real person in there, too.
I don't think he ever realized he was gorgeous. He said he didn't know it.
The chat room sure loves him. I mean, every time Paul Parker's name comes up, there are people commenting, he's gorgeous.
Yeah, and not only that, he had so many records out. I mean, I did not even realize it one time. When I'm his friend, I had no clue he had that much out. That guy is a record machine. And I'll tell you what else he said. You don't know? Do you know that he's written a play, a musical?
You're kidding. I had no idea.
No. He sent me all this stuff we were going to start working on. He put it aside. I don't know why. He's written a musical. I mean, this is a talented man. And I really feel he's underrated. I mean, he's just as great. And my brother's another one. My brother is an amazing, he wrote I Don't Want to Talk About It. He wrote Coming Out of Hiding. He's just a great writer.
Well, now that's true. You know, in fact, I meant to go there earlier in the show, and forgive me, I neglected to do that. He wrote a lot of your early work. It was very successful work.
Yeah, he is just... James has been writing, like I told you, he got that ukulele in his 12th, and he started writing. And my brother, to this day, I mean, he will record other people's CDs, but my brother has made a living at only doing his music, his albums, and when he goes and does shows all over the place, it's only his stuff. Well, see, I mix mine up. I do everything. But James is strictly, and he's a very funny man. He's another talent. I mean, he's going to be, he tours all over. You know, you can look on his website, James Lee Stanley. He also was one of the Klingons on, I think that's what they called him, on this Star Trek, one of the Star Trek, he was on that all the time.
He was a Klingon? That's priceless. My brother was a Klingon. That's pretty scary right there.
I mean, my brother is into that Star Trek thing. I mean, he is so into it. He goes to the convention. He went to the convention. He just loves it. I mean, he's not a nun. He doesn't do that thing. He doesn't walk around with a hand thing on. But I mean, he's not overly, but he does like it. And he's an avid reader. My brother, his vocabulary is huge. That's why he's such a good writer, because sometimes I say to him, I mean, I don't even know what he's talking about, and he's talking English. he's very intelligent.
Now, this was the brother with the ukulele. Was he the one with the ukulele?
Yeah.
So he actually had an influence in teaching you guys to sing in harmony, right? That was what he was after?
He is a major influence. He's a major influence. When I was afraid and I was just going to start college before I moved to New York, I was going to college, and he encouraged me to go out and get a piano bar job because I was trying to go to college and work at a men's clothing store, and I poured champagne on Sundays, and I worked at a health spa. I mean, all he's doing, and he said, Pamela, what are you doing? And he goes, this is another story. Are you ready for this? He goes, go get a job at the piano bar. I go, James, I just played by ear. You know, I don't really know. So he said, learn some songs and go audition. So I learned 9 songs. I go and audition, and damn, if I didn't get the first job I tried, and they wanted me next week. Well, I already knew 9 songs, and I had a job starting the next Friday, or the next Saturday. So I go, what am I going to do? So I come home, James, I got the job, and I have to sing, and I don't. He goes, don't worry. You go ahead and learn as many songs as you can, and then I'll show up in the middle of your set, and then I'll do an hour as a guest appearance, and then you just finish the night, and you'll look fantastic. I go, oh, James, you're the best big brother anybody could ask.
So, I sound like.
I'm working at the health club that day, and I hear over the loudspeaker, Pamela Stanley, pick up line 2, line 2. So I go over there, yeah. Go, hello. And there's a girl going, hello. I'm at the hospital with your brother. He has hurt his back, and we're at the hospital. And here's what I say. Can he sing?
Oh, my stars. You're a driven woman. Can he sing?
Can he sing?
Great story to tell.
Well, he couldn't sing, and I was forced. I only knew 20 songs, and I was forced to go. You know what? I made it through that night, and from then on, I always had piano bar to fall back on. So I have to tell you, sometimes I will do piano bar off and on through my life. Whenever I want to, like, focus, it just gets me back. It's like my Tara. I go back to Tara, and I play piano to this day. I play piano here. Play piano and sing. I do stand-up.
Wow.
I do singing. I do it with tracks. I love playing piano and singing.
I'll be
so
darned.
Anyway, he's just been a big influence on me.
Was it your grandfather that taught you to play the piano?
You know, I listened to him play, and I started. My daddy actually worked with me, but I play by ear. I'm not really a trained pianist. I can play what I hear. Like, if you play me a song, I can play it.
I've come to believe that some of the best musicians do exactly what you're saying. They play by ear.
Yeah, but I wish I had trained, too, because I feel that there was a lot more in there that I could have gotten out if I knew how to. Because I'm limited to they call it your chops. You know, because when people are classically trained, they just can really do so much more than I can. But I'm fine on the piano. I mean, I've played on, all the stuff that you hear, like Coming Out of Hiding, and I Don't Want to Talk About It, all the lines that you hear, I've made up. I would play them, and then I'd have a real musician come in and play it right. You know what I mean? I think I'm up.
Yeah.
But I use real musicians.
Yeah. And well, coming out of hiding, that was back in 83. So that was during the period of time I was DJing during the early 80s, and I remember quite well playing the track Coming Out of Hiding. And you did most of the lines in Coming Out of Hiding, did your brother do that song too?
My brother wrote the music, and you know, he wrote the chords and he wrote, but as far as any line that you like or anything, I labored over.
There are some wonderful lines. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, do you know how I did that? I had two cassette players, and I would play at my piano, and I'd play the line, and then I would put the cassette in the thing, and then I'd get another cassette, and I would play that, record while I played that other one, I'd play another line, and I would keep hearing back until I liked what I liked. You know what, that's not true. I don't want to talk about I did that way. By the time Coming Out of Hiding come, I'd had the Oberheim system, and I had an Oberheim drum machine, and I had the synthesizer, and that's how I did that song. Yeah, with an 8-track.
Yeah. Well, I'd love for
but,
that.
But I mean, then I went into the big studio.
There's a wonderful lines in this. This is, if I'm not mistaken, this is the track that has the. I'm going to pull the wool off. Is that the line from this track? I'm going to pull the wool off from my eyes or something like that. What is the line? It's been so many.
Oh, that's If Looks
Could
Kill. I'm
pulling
the wool from my eyes.
Yes.
That's If Looks Could Kill.
How did that track make it into
the... I didn't write that one.
How did that track, by the way, make it into the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? What was that, Raw something?
Raw Deal. They called me, Orion Pictures. They just heard the song, and I guess they thought it was perfect for the movie, and they called me and said, could we use that? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So they did. I was thrilled. That was the first time I ever had a song in a movie.
Yeah,
and, you know,
sure.
I was
You've
so...
Had more.
Yeah. What?
You've had other songs in movies? Is this?
Yes, I wrote a song called "Where Do Nice Girls Go to Meet Men" with this other woman, and it was in a movie called Across the Tracks. And then I had one more. Isn't this terrible? What song did they use?
You know, Pamela, I've got to say, you know.
Movie.
That's just amazing to me. You know, I'm speaking with somebody trying to remember which song was in which movie. I mean, it's just you're just blowing me away here. That's let's see which movie.
You know, after a while, but I want to tell you, after a while, I had This Is Hot was in a porno movie.
Oh, you're
kidding me. I didn't
know that for
a while. Yes, I used This Is Hot in a porno film, but I didn't get paid for that. Not even any toys.
You know, Man Parrish was on the show, and they used some of his music, I believe, in porn flick.
I know
too,
him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to run Coming Out of Hiding because there's some great lines in it, and you wrote them. I'd love to run them if that's okay with you.
Oh, good. Sure.
Okay. Great. Look, Bob, roll the Coming Out of Hiding track, please. to say to you that these tracks bring back such wonderful memories. I can visually, very clearly, in my mind, see that record label rotating on the turntable as I played these very tracks in gay clubs up in the Pacific Northwest, the Portland area. I could literally see the labels to this very day. These songs, they bring out memories of the crowds and the experiences and the times, but also there's always a very vivid image of the label rotating. It's so funny. That's what DJs, I mean, that's what we look at a lot. We look at the labels a lot going around. And so I so clearly remember that. Pamela, these, of course, were huge hits, and Billboard charted them. So they must have been, you know, so many of the high-energy dance tracks were huge hits in the gay clubs, but these definitely had to cross over to be in Billboard. So these were big hits in the straight clubs, too?
Yeah. Yeah, I would go to a city, and I would play one gay club and one straight club almost every weekend. Or else I would do sometimes three cities in a weekend, but always I did mixture of gay and straight. But the gay community stays loyal. If they love you, they love you. And they don't, they're happier if you have a major hit, but they're still going to come and see you, even if it wasn't, if you don't have something right now. With the straight crowd, they forget.
That's brilliant. You know, we are very nostalgic people. You know, we're like an elephant, like Horton the Hears a Who. We elephants never forget.
<That's right>.
We truly.
You're from the Portland area?
I lived in Portland from the very late 70s all the way through about 87, about 6 or 8 years I lived in Portland, and I DJed there at gay clubs in Portland, and I had a wonderful...
I was in Portland. I was there in the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which one? Was it the Embers by any chance? The
that
Embers was a huge...
That sounds very familiar.
Yeah, was it like a huge warehouse?
It was
warehouse?
In the 80s. I played Seattle and Portland.
I'll
at the
be
same
gone.
Time, and I loved Portland. I take
I did,
it over
I,
the water fountains on the street corners.
I know it. The city is just stunning, and such fond memories. Yeah, back in the 80s, there was the Family Zoo, and there was Ray's Ordinary, and then there was the Embers, and let's see, there was CC Slaughter's, and you know, just a long list, but you probably were in the Embers because that's a fairly large venue, and that's probably where you were, the Embers there. Yeah.
A great time.
Yeah, tell me about it. I know. Well, you know, I spend hours, and still the music brings back such fond memories, and it's wonderful. You know, we had a fellow on the show who lives in Canada, and he's a young fellow, probably about your son's age. I think he's in his 20s, and he's a huge archivist, and he's of all the music from that period of time. And it's I believe the site is Tommy's Disco. It was a guess. I don't have it in front of me but it's interesting to me that there are a lot of people who just still continue to love this music, and you know, so much of it is sampled and used over and over again. Even today.
I know. It's incredible. Yeah. It is incredible. You know, this is something, you know, when you think about it, we were making this music back there in the 80s. Like I didn't know that. You would not believe the emails that I get from people that tell me that it was a major influence on their life, or they came out to it, or they had been through a divorce and this was what got them through. And, you know, you don't realize. I mean, you're making the music and it's absolutely amazing to think that something that you worked on or created with someone else, that it's touching all these people's lives. It blows my mind. It brings tears to my eyes. I save them. They're just amazing emails from people all over the world. Not just, I mean, and I didn't know that it went that big.
Well,
I really wasn't aware that went that big.
Oh, Pamela, it's huge. I mean, you're a legend, Pamela Stanley. What Hazel Dean, Jessica Jessica Williams, you know, the
Jessica Williams, I love her.
Yes, I know. There are people that are just immortal. And thank goodness you guys came along during the era where, you know, recordings, I mean, you know, it was vinyl and what have you and reel-to-reel tape, but nonetheless, there was stunning audio quality back then. And thank goodness you guys came along, you know, prior to, you know, after they were, you know, 78s and, you know, the really bad fidelity music. I'm just... It's one. Those were great days to be in that venue.
It really was.
Pamela, would you take a moment to tell us about what's your other projects might be for the future? I noticed you have a track on your MySpace page that plays called Survive. What is going on with some of the newer tracks that I see on the MySpace page?
Well, you know, I kind of mixed the new ones that I got, the new ones, but this Survive song came to me from a man. This guy, you know, I meant to ask him if I was allowed to tell this story, so I'm going to be vague, if that's okay.
Sure.
I met a wonderful gentleman that worked in the A&R department of the Christian field. And anyway, he ended up leaving the Christian field, struggling with personal problems that he couldn't stay in that area because, I meant to ask Nick if I could tell this story. I'm going to have to leave it. What I'm going to tell you is this is about anyone that is surviving from either being in the closet, overcoming cancer, overcoming a difficult situation, anything that's really, really difficult in your life. He wrote this at a very painful time in his life. So when I heard this song, he sent it to me as a ballad and he wanted me to sing it. But when I heard it, I said, oh no, Nick, this is not a ballad, honey. This is one of those anthem songs that give people power. So I took it to this young producer, and I said, this is what I want to do with it. I want to make it an anthem. So now what's happened is Susan G. Komen, it just started in Pittsburgh, but they're starting to use this song as the opening song for the breast cancer Race for the Cure. And
wow.
So what I've been doing now is I'm working now with each city to get it going, and then if I'm not booked, I will go there and sing it. I sing it as the opening live for the people. So this has just been starting in the last month, so it's very new. But this song is the song that I'm so in love with, and I don't know if we can make it into a dance tune. It's a little too slow for a dance and too fast. You know, it's like one of the other, it's not in the right beat for dance music, but I don't know if we can make it a dance tune. But this is the song that I love, and my new album is pop, kind of New Orleans jazzy, no, New Orleans blues. I'd say it's more boogie blues and pop.
Wow.
New CD I have out. It just came out a little while ago, Seasons of My Heart. And
I see.
Songs I've written over the last few years, like the last 10 or 15 years, that were special to me. And I decided it was time to do an album of stuff I wrote.
Wow.
And I either wrote it by myself or with this girlfriend named Cindy Cowan, or those are the two. And then I use one of my brothers, and I use Nick's track, and I have a couple others. But Survive is one of those that just touches my heart.
Wonderful. Well, Pamela,
I'm
sorry to say that it's late enough in the program that there won't be quite time to run it, but what I will do is run that song tomorrow evening as one of our go-to-break tracks, and I'll retell this story. You know, and as we said earlier, we could spend so much time because your career is so broad and all the stuff you do. You've been an absolutely remarkable guest, and certainly I appreciate your coming on the show very much, and would love to have you back again. Maybe you and Paul Parker together. That might be fun.
That sounds wonderful. And I thank all the viewers. Thank you for listening and coming. And thank you. I really appreciate it. I would love to do something with Paul, and I would imagine that what would be really good is in September I'm going to be out there anyway, or October. Maybe you can get us when we're in the middle of producing this song. We can do a radio interview right from the studio.
That would be a hoot.
With
and don't forget
with
you.
With Paul Goodyear and Paul Parker.
And don't forget you have an upcoming hit coming out with Ernest Cole, too.
Ernest Cole, Ernest! That's right.
Oh, you're a very, very, very busy person. Pamela, God bless you, sweetheart. You're just a remarkable guest, and I thank Glenn also for inviting you onto the show. Glenn has been a huge help to the show in booking musical guests.
Oh, he's a doll.
We call him the executive director of musical talent. So we appreciate it very much. And Pamela,
thank you,
I'll have to wrap it and say goodnight. We're pushing the end of the envelope and the automatic recorders,
okay.
Et cetera, et cetera. So I'll be in touch and make sure you have a copy of the and please bear in mind we'd love to have you back, Pam.
Okay, I'd love to come back. Bye bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good evening, Pamela. And folks, that was Pamela Stanley, an amazing woman with an amazing story and amazing accomplishments, and she just blew me away. And you know, I still remember her record labels going round and round and round. So really, we must get out of here. I have to tell you, there is no horn section this evening. John is working on our servers, so the horn section and John's show will not be running live this evening. Love you guys. Thank you for joining us. And here's Cynthia Manley reminding you to.